Today I want to talk to you about the art of spiritual self-deception, or three lies we often tell ourselves. And I hope this message doesn't come across as harsh. I've been reflecting on this message for a few weeks now, and this is probably not a comprehensive list, but I think it's three of the main lies that we try to convince ourselves of and others of from time to time. Let's go on to the next slide. I found an interesting picture of what self-deception can look like. So here's this guy admiring himself in the mirror and seeing himself as he's not. Now, Laura pointed out to me when I found this picture that with the ladies, often it's the opposite. You know, we have these beautiful ladies that look at themselves in the mirror and see ugliness. And you know, so with men, you know, we walk by mirrors in the mall and we're like, we don't have anything to be proud of, you know? I mean, and ladies are walking by these mirrors and they're all doing this and hiding themselves and, oh, put that away, put the camera down, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, I'm really not necessarily talking about this kind of self-deception, but spiritually speaking, there are times when the reality about who we are is not the reality about what we're trying to get across. And so let's just dive into this. Let's go on to the next slide. Three lies we often tell ourselves, and maybe even sometimes we believe. The first is simply, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. And this relates to our walk with the Lord. It relates to the things that God has commanded us to do. And we'll say things like that. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. And unfortunately for us, Scripture tells us we can. Variations of this can come across as it's too hard. Or my personal favorite, and the one I've heard many times, is I tried Christianity once, but it didn't work. You know, and the person and the people that told me that, you know, they believed with their heart. You know, I thought I really gave it a try. You know, and sometimes we might even convince ourselves that we can't. We might convince ourselves that it's too hard. We might convince ourselves that I tried Christianity once, but it didn't work. The translation of this, if we're to be really honest with ourselves, what we mean is, I just won't do it. Or I don't want to do it. Going to the next one. I just don't want to do it. Or I don't want to have to work that hard. This is where we have to do some really deep soul searching in our walk with the Lord. Where are we at? How many times have we given up on doing something God commanded us because we convinced ourselves we couldn't, or that it was too hard, or that it wasn't going to work? And the reality of the situation is we really didn't want to, because we didn't want to work that hard. 1 John 2:3-6 says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Simply put, if I say I know the Lord, I have to obey his commands, even the ones that seem too hard, even the ones that I don't think that I can do. And here's the thing, God doesn't command things of us that are impossible. Maybe in the human sense, but with Christ. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. We play this game. I know the Lord, but then we're not doing what he told us to do. We've got to be careful, because then the truth isn't in us. But here's the key. If anyone obeys his word, God's love is made complete in him. Sometimes we try to make it about do, 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 and do. But God is like, I want to change you from the inside out. I want you to be something different so that you can then do. I want my love to be made complete in you. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to know him, to live in him, must walk as Jesus did. This can be an impossibility in the human sense. But when the Spirit of God and the Word of God are working in your life, God makes all things possible. Philippians 4:11-13 I'm not saying this, and this is Paul talking, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, except for the ones that are too hard. No, didn't say that. In any and every situation, whether being well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That's your linchpin. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And so if you feel like it's too hard, you think it's too hard, don't delude yourself into thinking that you can't do it, because with God's help, he will give you the capacity and the means and the ability to do what would be normally impossible. So if you come to me and say, I can't do it, or it's too hard, I will come to you and say, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. The second lie that we have a tendency to convince ourselves is the truth. And this can be really bad. The first one is pretty obvious because, you know, sometimes we can really feel overwhelmed. And the truth is we can find ourselves dealing with very difficult things. But God says, I want to help you. I want to help you through this. I want you to be able to do the impossible. This one, and we don't say it this way, but we believe it. I'm the exception. If you go to the website of the Ace of Cakes, any of you watch Duff on the Food Network? Ace of Cakes, he's the guy that has that little cake shop in New Jersey, and they build cakes that have things that explode out the top, and, you know, and they make dinosaur cakes, and they make castle cakes, and they take things to Hollywood premieres. Well, on the website, and because they're a working company, even though there's a television show about them, he's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. He says, basically to people, I know that you are probably more special than everyone else, but we cannot give you a tour of our facility. You know, and he kind of takes this whole approach, this tongue-in-cheek approach of people that call him thinking that their story is different. Yes, I know you want a cake, and I know your occasion is special, and I know that your occasion is more important than everyone else's, and I know that you're the exception, but the basic price is $500. No, you can't come in my store. You can't have a tour. I'm sorry. We love you. Oftentimes, we approach a situation like that, and we think that if we're able to convince somebody how different our situation is, that they'll have mercy on us and believe, oh, well, your situation is different, when it's really not. We are not the exception. You know, the variation on this is, well, that doesn't apply to me. You know, so we're reading commands in Scripture. We're reading things in the Bible that say, do this, you need to do this, and you know, so that I can do this in your life, and you need to do this so that I can do this in your life. And we're like, well, yeah, but God, you don't know my situation. Seriously? But God, that doesn't apply to me. Really? What we really mean is that doesn't, didn't, won't work for me, even though God says it will, should, or should have. It's kind of ouchy. Give you some examples. Tithing. Oh, wait, sorry. Before we get onto that, obviously, no, you're good. That's fine. You're fine. I forgot I had an extra slide in there. Obviously, God must not have meant me or my situation when he made that command. Obviously. Because God didn't know that I would be going through what I'm going through right now. So then we look at some specifics. Tithing. Our excuse? I can't afford it. You know, we go to the next one. Self-control. Well, I just couldn't help it. I couldn't help myself. Or the next one. Time management. You know, I'm too busy. As if somehow we're the exception. Nobody else can afford to. Nobody else couldn't help it. Nobody else is too busy. Let's read some scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 to 13. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful then that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I want you to understand the focus of this scripture, especially as it relates to temptation. We have a tendency to think, again, it's too hard. I can't do it. I'm the exception. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. You are not in a boat that somebody else isn't in. You are not in a position where Christ himself has not found himself. Because the scripture tells us that he was tempted in all ways that we have been tempted. So whether or not you believe to be the exception, or whether or not you're convincing yourself that you're the exception, whether or not you're trying to convince God that his commands don't apply to you because of your unique situation, the reality is you're not going through anything that is not common to man. When you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So if there's a command that involves self-control or time management, tithing, giving, your life, something that God wants you to do, a discipline that he wants you to engage in, look for the door, look for the way, because he wants you to be able to stand up and succeed in that area. Luke 14, 16 to 20. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all began to make excuses. The first said, 'I just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' What? Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.'" Well, you continue to read. You find out that the master was kind of annoyed. And he says, "You know what? If they're not going to come, then I'll go find some other people." And he does. Because these folks missed out on a great blessing. They had other things to do, and they missed out on the feast that the master had laid out. You see, there are many commands that God has given us so that we may be blessed and be a blessing to others, and we make excuses for why we don't and can't do that. And so my encouragement to you, my challenge to you, is that we need to stop making excuses for ourselves. You know what? Yeah, your situation might be a little harder than somebody else's. You might be having to deal with something that you think is unique. But the reality is, when God gives a command and he says, "We've got to do this, you've got to do this," you've got to do it. There's no reason not to. There's no reason that you can't. And if you don't, you are missing out on the blessing of being obedient to God and the blessing that you might bring to somebody else by doing what he has called you to do. So stop making excuses. Just stop. Pop it. Number three. This one's a little bit longer. This might even be a little harder. Because I think a lot of us find ourselves in this place. I find myself here a lot. And I have to do a lot of soul searching to realize that I've got to mature and I've got to grow and get past my own attitude in these areas. I don't understand why God isn't blessing me. I'm doing all of this his way. Really? And that's the question. Really? I mean, we want God's blessing. And we do things oftentimes because we want God's blessing. But many times, we're not doing all of it God's way. See, if I was to translate that, what we might mean, and this is where the soul searching comes in, I'm really trying to do all of this mostly my way, to be honest, while trying to make it look like I'm doing it God's way, but I still want God to bless what I do. And we might do this to varying degrees. We're doing some of it God's way, but there's a lot we're still doing our way. And sometimes we're doing all of it our way, but we're really good at making it look like we're doing it God's way when inside we're not doing it God's way and we're offended that God's not blessing us. I don't think Jesus came back last night, did he? He was supposed to come back at 6 o'clock. Okay, you know, well, that's fine. All right. Anyway, there's a t-shirt that I've seen. Jesus could return at any minute. Look busy. Like Jesus isn't going to see through that. That might work for your boss. The boss comes in. Oh, type. I'm doing something. What are you doing? Well, nothing, but it looks like I'm doing something. Jesus could come at any minute. Look busy. Right. You see, God sees through that. And a lot of times we're doing that for other people's benefit, or even to delude ourselves into thinking that our motivation is pure and that we're actually doing something, when the reality is we're doing nothing and we're just making it look like we're doing something. Is that too harsh? Because that's where we find ourselves. God's blessings are contingent on our obedience, and they are contingent on our willingness to do right and our motivation. And the reality is the enemy will slip into our life through any doorway, any crack, any crevice that he can when our attitude is wrong, when our motivation is wrong, or when we start doing something our way. And we might be doing X percent of what we need to do God's way, but it's those areas that we haven't submitted to God, those areas that we're still hanging on to, that the enemy finds the means to slip into our life and to take away what God's trying to give us. James 4, 1 through 10. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world, and understand this isn't talking about people, this is talking about the world system. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit has he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That's why the Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. You see, the problem oftentimes is one of control. Who's in control? Who is really in control in your life? A lot of the times, we want control. We want to be in control. We generally don't want to give it up, and this is oftentimes due to pride and a lack of true humility. Ultimately, we don't trust God to give him 100%. So we pay lip service. We go through the motions of making sure we look spiritual. But the truth of the matter is, we're not really relinquishing full control of our lives to the one who loves us and has our best interests at heart. Sometimes maybe we don't give it up because we're not sure he really does have our best interests at heart. That's where that pride thing comes in. God, I want to trust you, but I don't quite, so I'll just kind of hang on to this if you don't mind. Then we find ourselves in one of the most dangerous places to be. With just enough of God's word to get Satan on our back and not enough of his word to get Satan off. Can't have it both ways. Just enough of the presence of God to kind of bring Satan's attention to bear on us, but not pressing into him enough to actually have the power to overcome the enemy when he bears down on us full force. That middle road, that 1 foot on one side, 1 foot on the other, it doesn't work. And if I go back to those times when people said, I can't do it, I couldn't do it, I tried Christianity and it didn't work, that's because they made a partial commitment. They gave God a few things, but the enemy still had a lot of control in a lot of areas. You want to see some progress in your life, you've got to come to the Lord in a place where you say, God, I give you all of it. I give every bit of it to you. I give everything, every part of my life. Father, you need to be the one that's in control. You need to be the one that steers the ship. You need to be the one that drives the car. Because if I have my hand anywhere near that, I know the enemy is going to find a way to sneak in and wreak havoc in my life. And that's not where we want to be. Let's be honest with ourselves. And not in a judgmental, not in that kind of way where we walk away saying, oh man, I've got so much more to do. Understand the freedom in saying, Lord, I can give this to you. I can really let go of this. I can really trust you. I can really let you have my life, every part of it, my future, my present, my past, my hopes, my dreams. I can give everything to you and actually see progress. Because in doing that, you bind the power of the enemy over what you've given the Lord. Because now it's in God's hands. And the enemy has no right to it. I hope that's more encouraging to you than it is discouraging. Coming to a place where you can say, Lord, I give all of this to you. Let's stand together and pray. Father, I thank you so much for everybody that took the time to be here today. Thank you for just the time of worship we had earlier and the challenge that was offered through the prayer. God, that we can come to you and give our lives to you. Everything. There may be folks here today, Lord, that have never made that kind of commitment. Father, we know that it's as easy as approaching you with boldness because of Christ's sacrifice and saying, Lord, here is my life. I want you to be in control. There are many here today, Lord, that are believers that still need to do that. They may have prayed a prayer at one time in their life, Lord, I want you to be my Lord, but how much lordship have we given you? We need to find ourselves, come to a place of maturity where we say, God, it's all yours. Because I know without you, I will not be able to make anything out of this mess. Father, we thank you for the promise. We thank you for the victory that has been purchased for us through the cross of Christ. And I pray, God, as we realize that there is power and freedom in giving you control, that every day as you identify things in our life that the enemy would try to use to pull us away from you and identify areas in our life that the enemy would try to use to knock us down and to pull us back into old habits, God, that as you bring those to our attention, that we would be able to daily give those to you. Lord, I give you control of that. Lord, I give you control of that. Father, I give you control of that. And then we'll begin to see the kind of freedom and victory that we need to see in our lives as we walk with you as our pilot. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, give it up. Give it up. God bless. Have a great week.